الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah. And we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We continue in our discussion on Surah Ali Imran. Mayrook, what ayah do you have noted there?
89.
We read some of and some of them we didn't finish. Correct. طيب أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إلا الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم. إن الذين كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لم تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون. إن الذين كفروا وماتوا وهم كفار لن يقبل من أحدهم ملء الأرض ذهبا ولو افتدى به أولئك لهم عذاب أليم وما لهم من ناصرين. Mayrook, can you read ayat 89 to 91 in English, please? Beautiful, Abd al-Majid. Who is it?
Except for those who repent after death and do righteous deeds, verily Allah is of forgiving most merciful. Verily those who disbelieve after their belief and then went on increasing in their disbelief, never will their repentance be accepted, because they repent only by their tongues and not for their hearts, and they are those who are astray. Verily those who disbelieve and died while they are disbelievers, the whole earth full of gold will not be accepted from any one of them, even if they offer it as a ransom. For them is a painful torment, and they will have no helpers.
Barakallah fiqh. The context of the ayat, by the way, for those who are coming here for the first time, is concerning those who have come in contact with the truth and yet rejected it afterwards. Human beings are at different stages. There's someone or some people who don't know the truth. They're astray, like many of you before you became Muslims. You didn't know any better. The only religion available perhaps in your area or in your country was Christianity, for example. And you had no knowledge. Then in your search, or somehow, Allah decreed you came in contact with Islam. You and another person, you decided that this is the religion of God, and I owe it to myself to embrace it, and this is the true salvation. So you became Muslims. And others, they got the same realization, but they did not make that move for many reasons. Either arrogance, pride, you know, I will not change, I will not follow a group of other people. They have this kind of self-conceit element in them. Or because of jahiliyyah, or sticking to what their forefathers were upon. You know, my whole family is Christian, my grand-grandfather was a Christian, we're a Christian family, I will not forsake Christianity for Islam. Even though they know Islam is the truth. And there may be different reasons why people will deliberately reject the truth. Now it is those who Allah said about, that Allah was not to guide them after they have reached that level. Those who are searching, Allah will guide them ultimately. Those who know the truth but don't care for it, they prefer the dunya, they prefer the worldly life, then Allah Azza wa Jal said that He will not guide these individuals. These were the context. And the ayah that we were reciting right now, the Shaykh says concerning, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ تَعَالَى اسْتَثْنَى مِنْ هَذَا الْوَعِيدِ التَّائِبِينَ مِنْ كُفْرِهِمْ وَذُنُوبِهِمْ الْمُصْلِحِينَ لِعُيُوبِهِمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ مَا قَدَّمُوهُ وَيَعْفُو عَنْهُمْ مَا أَسْلَفُوهُ Now, exception to the rule, Allah said He will not guide those, except Allah made an exception to this threat of His to the ta'ibin, those who turn to Him in repentance. But they repent from their disbelief and from their sins. Those who try to rectify their evil ways, those Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive their previous sins, and He will pardon them in everything that preceded. So then it is not closed all the way. If someone, even after reaching that stage, decides to turn back to Allah in repentance, then Allah Azza wa Jal will guide them, and Allah will accept their repentance. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ كَفَرَ وَأَصَرَّ عَلَى كُفْرِهِ وَلَمْ يَزْدَدْ إِلَّا كُفْرًا حَتَّى مَاتَ عَلَى كُفْرِهِ فَهَؤُلَاءِ هُمُ الضَّالُّونَ عَنْ طَرِيقِ الْهُدَى السَّالِكُونَ لِطَرِيقِ الشَّقَاءِ. However, those who disbelieve and they insist on their disbelief and they only increase in disbelief until they die. It is those who are astray. It is those who are misguided from the path of guidance, the ones traveling upon the path of destruction. The path of destruction. وَقَدْ اسْتَحَقَّوا بِهَذَا الْعَذَابِ الْأَلِيمِ فَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ نَاصِرٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ بَذَلُوا مِلْءَ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ لَمْ يَنْفَعْهُمْ شَيْئًا فَعْيَاذًا بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ وَفُرُوعِهِ. The Sheikh said, they deserve the painful punishment, and none will be able to protect them from the punishment of Allah, even if they were to give the whole world in ransom. In fact, it comes in one of the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, an authentic narration, that Allah will tell the disbeliever on the Day of Judgment. Allah will tell the disbeliever on the Day of Judgment, if you had the equivalent of this earth in gold, will you pay it in ransom, as ransom to protect yourself from the punishment? He will say yes. Allah will say, but I had required of you something which was much easier, that you worship me alone and worship none with me. So on that day, it will not benefit. All we had to do today was not worship Jesus and not worship Mary and not worship Vishnu or Vishnu and not worship the various gods that the people... Don't worship false gods. Worship your Creator alone, and this is your ticket to paradise. Then the good deeds, Salah, Siyam, Zakah, these will help you get there with a bigger guarantee. But ultimately the key to paradise, salvation, lies in what? In bearing witness that only Allah deserves worship, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. So then this was what is expected of them. And you know, in Surah Al-Ma'arij, what does the ayah say? يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُغْنِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. The disbeliever on that day, he will put forth his own children, his own wife, his own brother. He will say to Allah, burn them, but don't put me in the fire. فَصِيلَتُهُ, his own tribe. وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا, even if he was to put the whole world, everyone in the world gets punished so he can be saved, he will try to do that. Kalla, but it is not the case. So we have to acquire Jannah today. We don't try to get it on the Day of Judgment. It would be too late. It is to be done today through our Siyam and Salah and all the acts of worship which Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon the Muslims. So the Shaykh said at the end, so we seek refuge with Allah from disbelief in all its various branches. Anything which will lead to this humiliation on Day of Judgment, we do not want it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah 92, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. You shall not attain piety until you spend from that which you love. You shall not attain righteousness and piety until you spend from that which you love. And whatever you spend, there's nothing that you spend except that Allah is all knowing of it. Nothing you spend will be gone unnoticed. Allah Azza wa Jal keeps track and record of every single deed, including the 1 riyal which you spend in His cause.
Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. The Shaykh says, يعني لن تنالوا وتدركوا البر الذي هو اسم جامع للخيرات. You shall not acquire, you shall not attain birr. Birr is a comprehensive word which includes all goodness. Anything which is good is categorized under the word birr. Right? And what do we call those who have a lot of birr? In the Quran, with the same word, the same root, derivative. Abrar. Inna al-abrara lafi na'im. Wa inna al-fujjara lafi jahim. Abrar are people who have a lot of birr. They do it abundantly. So birr is a comprehensive word that has all goodness contained. وَهُوَ الطَّرِيقُ الْمُوصِلُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And it is the path which will lead you to Jannah. Birr is a path on which you travel that will lead you to paradise. حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْ أَطْيَبِ أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَزْكَاهَا. From the best of your wealth and the purest, the thing which you strove the most for, and the thing which is most beloved to you, until you spend from that. Meaning, if you have 6 pairs of shoes, one of them is very dear to you. That's your favorite. And one of them you don't even wear once every 3 years, whenever the other ones are lost. And you wanted to give sadaqah, for you to truly reach the level of piety, the ultimate level of piety, you will give the shoe which is a favorite to you, not the one that you don't like. You see what it means? Otherwise you can give anything that you don't care for. You can give away all kinds of things that are not beloved to you. The piety, birr, is that you spend from the thing which is the best you have and the most pure. The thing that you had strove the most in halal ways for. This is the actual birr. فَإِنَّ النَّفَقَةَ مِنَ الطِّيبِ الْمَحْبُوبِ أو مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ الْمَحْبُوبِ لِلنُّفُوسِ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْأَدِلَّةِ عَلَى سَمَاحَةِ النَّفْسِ وَاتِّصَافِهَا بِمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَرَحْمَتِهَا وَرِقَّتِهَا. Spending from that which is most beloved to you is an indication, among the major indications, about the ease of yourself. That you're an easygoing person. You're not tight concerning money. And that you have attained the noble characteristics, and that you have mercy in you and gentleness. ومن أدل الدلائل على محبة الله وتقديم محبته على محبة الأموال التي جبلت النفوس على قوة التعلق بها. And it is among the greatest indications that you love Allah and that you're willing to spend and put forth what is beloved to Allah over what is beloved to you of your wealth. Over what is beloved to you of your wealth, which we were born predisposed to love. Everyone loves fulus. Right or wrong? Can anyone give me an ayah from the Quran which supports that? Give me an ayah from the Quran which supports the idea that children of Adam love money. Come on, ya jama'at al khair. Surah, and the last of the Quran, I'm not telling you to quote from Ali Imran. The last surah of the book of Allah. At least Surah Al-Fajr and Al-Adiyat. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. طب العاديات. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. These two ayat are clear. Allah is telling us how we are. We love money. We love money. Now when you love money and you still spend it in the cause of Allah, that means that you love Allah more. Otherwise, you would never give up not even one riyal. You would not be willing to give not even one riyal because you love it for yourself. Why would you do it? Because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to get the reward from Allah. So this is why it's an indication that a person truly loves Allah and he gives precedence to the love of Allah azza wa jal over the love of the dunya. فَمَنْ آثَرَ مَحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَحَبَّةِ نَفْسِهِ فَقَدْ بَلَغَ الذُّرْوَ الْعُلْيَا مِنَ الْكَمَالِ وَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَحْسَنَ إِلَى عِبَادِ اللَّهِ أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَوَفَّقَهُ أَعْمَالًا وَأَخْلَاقًا لَا تَحْصُلُ بِدُونَ هَذِهِ الْحَالَةِ بِدُونِ هَذِهِ الْحَالَةِ. Similarly, whoever then he favors the love of Allah over the love of himself, then he has reached the epitome of excellence in character. And then similarly, the one who spends from the goodness and he aids the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal shall treat him with goodness. Yeah, and you give one riyal for the sake of Allah and you may make 10 million riyals. Some people say, come on, that doesn't happen, man. I give, 5 riyals all the time, 10 riyals, I don't get no million riyals. Well, listen, it doesn't have to be that you one day wake up, and you get a phone call from the bank, they say, congratulations, someone deposited a million riyals in your account. Don't wait for that. It could be that Allah Azza wa Jal will protect you and your family from calamities that would have cost you a lot more than this money. But it will never come to you because of the one riyal you spent. In Surah Al-Kahf, the Al-Khadr and Musa alayhi salatu salam, they seen a wall that was on the verge of being destroyed. He reconstructed the wall. And Musa told them, why did you do that? He said, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. As for the wall, it belonged to two orphans in Medina, in a city. Medina means a city. And there was a treasure for them under it, and their father was a righteous man. Some of the ulama say in the commentary, his grand, 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 was the righteous man. Al-Abu Sabi', the seventh father, was the righteous man. Allah protected this, the wealth of these children, because of the righteousness of who? The father. Even if it was the father, ya Shaykh. How did Allah protect the wealth of the children? Because of the righteousness of the father. So don't look at it, you know, in a, you know, straight numerical. You know, I give 1 riyal, I should find 5 riyals in my pocket. And if not, that means I'm not getting for my sadaqah. No. It is barakah in the wealth that Allah gives you. It is Allah preventing other harms from afflicting you. This is how your money is blessed. So you get in a car accident, you know, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ أَنَّ لَا قَدَّرَ اللَّهِ, and everything is, you know, smashed up except you. You know, you're sitting like this in the car, so no way, I'm alive. You know, and everything else is gone. It could have been that you lost your arm, your leg, and you know, you broke some ribs, and this will cost you, you know, thousands of riyals in the hospital. But maybe 5 riyals you gave as a sadaqah a week before will be one of the means where Allah will prevent you from this calamity, and you never calculated that this 5 riyals is for that prevention from this accident. So is this idea clear? So you won't be thinking, you know, money, because we love money so much, we also think money. I give 5 riyals, I need 50. It doesn't work this way. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't work this way. This is how we work. And we got plenty of problems. Ala kulli hal. The Shaykh said, and further, Allah will provide him success to do more deeds and better character he would have never attained had he not spent in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَيْضًا فَمَنْ قَامَ بِهَذِهِ النَّفَقَةِ عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجْهِ كَانَ قِيَامُهُ بِبَقِيَّةِ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ الْفَاضِلَةِ مِنْ طَرِيقِ الْأَوْلَى وَالْأَحْرَى. Similarly, whoever then establishes these good deeds in this particular matter, whoever spends with this kind of goodness in him, then naturally the rest of his deeds, excuse me, will also be good. The rest of his deeds will also be good, because if this person is able to give up money which he loves for the sake of Allah, then you expect him to be able to give up a TV show to go to the masjid. Right? Because sometimes you have a problem. You know, especially in Ramadan. I hope you don't have a TV. And if you have a TV, I hope you don't have anything silly on there. Because they bring all these shows, special shows for Ramadan. And if you're a new Muslim, you think there's a relation between, you know, watching soap operas and Ramadan. This has nothing to do with the deen, Habibi. We don't have anything like that. We don't have time for this stuff. Yes, it's okay if there's nothing prohibited there. You can watch something that is lawful. But to be spending our, you know, the people are praying in Jama'ah, and you know, there's only 5 minutes left in the episode. Or you know, the match is about to end. No. If this person is able to spend money which he loves, then him leaving the dunya and sleep for the salah is more likely to be the case. He wouldn't be sleeping during Fajr when the Imam is saying, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. Huh? Right or wrong? Do you sleep for Fajr? Don't tell me. If you have sins, hide them. But if you sleep for Fajr, this will be the last day you slept. From this, tomorrow inshallah, never again will you sleep for salah. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. You know the non-Muslims, you know those who have dogs, you know that they take them out at 4 in the morning to defecate. Many non-Muslims have this consistency in waking up 4 in the morning for what? For the dog to go outside and handle his business. Because they don't want the dog to, you know, to defecate in the house and cause a foul smell. So they're willing to sacrifice their time and wake up 4 in the morning every day for the doggy to go handle business. Hey. And a Muslim is sleeping during salah time, at, you know, same time, he can't wake up for Allah Azza wa Jal. No way. If our iman was good, this would never be the case. This would never be the case. وَنَسْأَلَ اللَّهُ الْعَافِيَةِ. The Shaykh said, وَمَا أَنَّ النَّفَقَةَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ هِيَ أَكْمَلُ الْحَالَاتِ فَمَهْمَا أَنْفَقَ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ نَفَقَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ أَوْ كَثِيرَةٍ مِنْ طَيِّبٍ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ وَسَيَجْزِي كُلَّ مُنْفِقٍ بِحَسَبِ عَمَلِهِ وَسَيَجْزِيهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِالْخَلْفِ الْعَاجِلِ وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ بِالنَّعِيمِ الْآجِلِ. The Shaykh said, now, even though spending from the best wealth you have is the best state, however, anything which you spend for the sake of Allah, whether it is a lot or a little, even if it's just a small amount of money, like 1 riyal, whether it is from the best of your wealth or that which is, you know, in the middle, Allah knows everything. Allah is aware of all of these spendings of yours. And so the Shaykh said, and Allah will reward with goodness, everyone according to his deed. And he will be given in the dunya, where Allah will compensate you. And the dunya, you will be reimbursed in the dunya, and in the life to come, the eternal delight. The eternal delight. You know, and we know we have many narrations from the Sahaba when ayat of this nature were recited upon them. There's more than one. Actually, I was always under the impression that the story was because of this ayah, but then I read in the hadith that it's another ayah. Anyway, one of the Sahaba, this ayah or another ayah dealing with فَمَا يُقْرِضُ اللَّهُ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, whoever will loan Allah a good loan, was recited. What was his name, Ashraf? Abu al اللي كان عنده عطى كل ال أبو الدحداح جزاك الله خير. See, that's the benefit of having Dr. Yahya with us in the class. Abu الدحداح, you know, this ayah or another one that incurred spending was recited. He had this huge, huge garden which had around 600 palm trees. That's a lot of fulus. That's a lot of money. The ayah was recited, and he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he gave the whole thing in sadaqah. He went to his wife who was there with the children, and he said, get out, this doesn't belong to us anymore, I gave this to Allah. Now look at his wife. She didn't say, you crazy, you gave away the, you know, the garden, you know. No, she was happy. Her children had a date in their hand. She was taking the date out of their hand, meaning even the dates that are in there are not ours anymore, and they just went out. And Rasulullah said, you know what, how many trees, how many, you know, branches that will be inclined down in Jannah are for Abu Dahdah. He guaranteed himself Jannah, radiallahu anhu arda, with this, because he wanted to spend from the best of his wealth. You know, so, you know, we have to find an example in the Sahaba, so we can be as good as they are, or we can try as much as we can to be as good as they are. Please turn off your phones. I really live next to Palestine. I'm not joking. You know, Palestine is the street where they sell Jawalat. I think you get the point. طيب Ayah 94. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة. قل فأتوا بالتوراة فاتلوها إن كنتم صادقين. فمن افترى على الله الكذب من بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الظالمون. بستنيرا. Please, 94.
93.
Well, my book says 94. Okay, 93, 94, I'm sorry.
All food was lawful to the children of Israel, except what Israel made unlawful for himself before the Torah was revealed, saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring here the Torah and recite it, if you are truthful. Then after that, whosoever shall invent a lie against Allah, such shall
be the بارك الله فيك. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله, من جملة الأمور التي قدح فيها اليهود بنبوة عيسى ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنهم زعموا أن النسخ باطل, وأنه لا يمكن أن يأتي نبي يخالف النبي الذي قبله. Among the matters which the Jews used to undermine the prophethood of Jesus and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now you know the Jews. Did the Jews believe in Jesus?
No.
All of them or some of them?
Some of them.
Not all.
Who believed? The disciples. Al-Hawariyun. No? The disciples of Jesus. Did they not believe in Jesus? They did. Were they Jews? They were Jews. So the vast majority of the Jews belied Jesus. They said he's not the Messiah. He's not the Messenger of Allah. And we don't have to follow him. In fact, we should kill him. He's a liar, and we should crucify him. And a minority among them, the disciples of Jesus, believed in the message of Jesus. As what? The Son of God?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes. Prophet.
Mia Mia?
Yeah.
No Son of God?
No.
Does Allah have children?
No.
Does Allah have children?
No.
What's the evidence? لم يلد ولم يولد. He begot not, nor was he begotten. He didn't beget any children, no one gave birth to all. He's the creator. If the creator had a child, the child, is he a creator or a creation? Creation. If the creator gave birth to a creation, then that automatically makes him equal. Because they have to be of the same nature. It doesn't make any sense. If God gave birth to a son, then either they're going to claim that the son is a creator, but he was created, or they will claim that he is a creation, which means that they cannot be the same. Right or wrong? Or did I confuse you? Allah does not beget any children. Allah is the creator of the creation. If he begot a child, then the child would have to be of the same nature as God. That means we have two gods. And we know in all messages, in all messengers, there's no two God. There's only one God. And you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, which is La ilaha illallah. So alhamdulillah, this is clear to everyone. So the Jews said, the Prophet Muhammad and the Prophet Isa, Jesus, are not true prophets, because they claim that the idea of naskh. Who remembers from our previous classes, what is the English word used to render the word naskh in Arabic? Nasikh, mansukh, naskh. Which is to invalidate an older ruling with a new one. It begins with the letter A.
Abrogation.
It's called in what in da'wah terminology is called? Abrogation. There's the abrogator, the actual al-nasikh, wal-mansukh, the abrogated. And the whole concept of naskh is called abrogation, which is when Allah Azza wa Jal will have a particular ruling, and then Allah will reveal another ruling which will invalidate the previous one. It's no longer effective, and only the new one is. This is similar to, for example, in any device. They may put out a manual for the device, and then they find out that there's a defect in it. Then they will release a patch or another one, and they say, forget about the old one. Okay? They both came from the same company, but the company saw that it is better for the customers to give them a newer version. So they give them the new version, they say, you forget about the old one. Now it doesn't mean as many people think that Allah Azza wa Jal did not know what was going on. So he gave one ruling, and then he saw that it wasn't good, so he gave another ruling. No. What it is, Allah's wisdom entailed that He deals with His creation gradually. It wasn't a sudden change. For example, drinking alcohol. Was drinking alcohol allowed in Islam in the beginning?
Yeah.
Yes, for how long?
Yeah.
A long time. It was only made haram towards the end of the end of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Allah could have revealed, Allah knew that khamr, intoxicants, will become prohibited ultimately. Allah knew this from before He created the heavens and the earth. But Allah Azza wa Jal did not make this the initial ruling. Because the Sahaba, the generation, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were a society of drunkards. They were a society of drinking wine. They were not ready at that early stage to give up something that they have been used to for so many years. So Allah delayed that ruling until their faith grew. They accepted Islam, they started obeying Allah, obeying His Messenger, iman grew, they got more strength, more power. When they reached that stage of maturity in their faith, Allah revealed the ayah, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ, that are you going to desist? Are you going to stop? And as this narration is mentioned, the Sahaba, where some of them had a cup towards his mouth, he didn't even finish it. He had a cup, one of us would say, that's the last one. When the ayah was recited upon them, they were just about to drink the wine, and the ayah said, desist, leave there alone. They dropped it on the ground, and the river and Medina became rivers of wine, because they broke all the jars that they had. Why? Iman was at such a stage, when they heard something from Allah and His Messenger, they would put it into practice immediately. So then the ruling of drinking alcohol was abrogated by the later revelation. In the beginning, it was allowed. Allah said, don't come to salah wa antum sukara. Don't come to salah while you're feeling a little tipsy. Huh? Until you know what you're saying. It was stages before alcohol was made forbidden. Why? Allah's mercy, Allah's wisdom, Allah's gradual approach to His creation, who knows, He created us, He knows what is best for us. So don't think when we say that Allah will invalidate an older ruling with a new one, that means that Allah is, there's confusion there. A'udhu billah, wa hasha lillah. Never. It's the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that things came gradually. Now the Jews said no. They said there's no such thing. It's impossible that Allah will say something today, and then He will say something else afterwards. So they try to say, you know, Jesus is not a prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a prophet, because there's no way that Allah will change his old revelation. The Shaykh said, فَكَذَّبَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرٍ يَعْرِفُونَهُ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْتَرِفُونَ بِأَنَّ جَمِيعَ الطَّعَامِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِ التَّوْرَاةِ كَانَ حَلَالًا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِلَّا أَشْيَاءً يَسِيرًا. Allah then belied them through something which they themselves know. Something that they themselves know. And the story is, they all admit that all of the food, all foods, you know, the food that is consumed, before the revelation of the Torah used to be halal for Bani Israel. Except some minor things which Allah made forbidden. Otherwise, everything was made haram. What are the things that were forbidden in the Old Testament?
Pork.
Swine. Yeah? Tell this to the, you know, pork chop lovers. Right? You know, swine has been made forbidden from as far as we know. From as far as we know, from the Old Testament, and then Jesus, you know, he kept the same methodology. He didn't go out and have, you know, bacon strips and sausages. He was following the same law of the Old Testament, and then Islam. All of these, you know, teachings say that you are not allowed to eat pig. But today people love pig so much that there is no problem rejecting the religion of God and the teachings of God and the messengers as long as they have a good old time eating a pig. That tells you that this is a form of favoring the worldly life over the life to come. If you can't, you know, if you can't give up some meat to please your God, then what kind of human being are you? How lowly can someone be? Cannot give up some meat in order to please God, but that's not the attitude of the believers. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe, they love Allah far more. If Allah said it's haram, I will never eat it. You know, that's just the attitude of the Muslims and the believers. حرمها إسرائيل وهو يعقوب عليه السلام على نفسه ومنعها إياه لمرض أصابه. Except, besides the one what I mentioned to you right now, except some which Yaqub, what's his name in English?
Jacob.
Jacob عليه الصلاة والسلام, he had made some things forbidden for himself because of an illness he was suffering from. So he said that I will not eat, for example, such and such. Let's just say chicken. He said, I will not eat chicken because he had a problem with that. He made that forbidden upon himself. عليه الصلاة والسلام. ثم إن التوراة فيها من التحريمات التي نسخت ما كان حلا قبل ذلك شيئا كثير. Then the Torah came down and it made many things forbidden which were before lawful. Right? So Allah did not allow them, for example, to eat the fat. You know, and then the ayah is mentioned in the Quran. The shuhum of some of the animals Allah Azza wa Jal made forbidden for them because of their transgression, because of the continuous transgression of the children of Israel. قل لهم إن أنكروا ذلك فأتوا بالتوراة فتلوها إن كنتم صادقين. If they deny that no, you know, nothing was halal and then it was made haram, Allah said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, bring your Torah and read if you are truthful. Come and show us the evidence if you are truthful. بزعمكم أنه لا نسخ ولا تحليل ولا تحريم. If you claim that there's no abrogation, there's no making lawful and there's no making prohibitions afterwards. وهذا من أبلغ الحجج أن يحتج على الإنسان بأمر يقوله ويعترف به ولا ينكره. This is among the strongest ways to establish proof and evidence against someone, by using something that they themselves say and they themselves do. When they try to deny something, you try to, for example, they criticize the Prophet ﷺ for marrying Aisha and consummating the marriage when she was at the age of 9. And you will find that all these, you know, all these Western organizations say this is pedophilia and this is, you know, blah blah blah, you know, they run their mouths. Well, we say, listen, time out. How old was Mary when she was married to Joseph according to your textual evidences, according to your biblical references? She was 12. Mary, according to them, married Joseph at the age of 12. Now according to the law today, 12, is that a young girl or a mature woman? They say she's a young girl. Say, so what's your problem then? What is it, the age difference? 3 years? That doesn't make difference, they're all children in your sight. And I just read on CNN news, on the internet, not on the TV, I read an amazing discovery. They said that today, girls are reaching puberty way earlier than before. And they were, wallahi, they were quoting on CNN in America, they're making a differentiation between white girls and black girls and Hispanic girls. And they're saying that, you know, already the black and Hispanic are ahead. And the white girls are catching up around the age of 7 and 8. Some of them are reaching puberty. I'm like, subhanAllah, that's what we're saying. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, living in the desert with no AC, you know, the women had the tendency to mature sooner. They will reach puberty sooner. This was something that was normal in the society. So there was absolutely nothing wrong with the marriage of the Prophet ﷺ to Aisha. And we say, look, if you say that what he did with Mary is wrong, then this is wrong. If you say this is right, then this is right. So this is how you kind of, you know, you silence them by giving them something that they themselves say or acknowledge. So this is one of the ways of giving da'wah, of course. فَإِنْ قَالَ لِلْحَقْ فَهُوَ الْوَاجِبُ. So if the person adheres to the truth, then this is compulsory. This is what is expected of everyone. وَإِنْ أَبَى وَلَمْ يَنْقَدْ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْبَيَانِ تَبَيَّنَ كَذِبُهُ وَافْتِرَاؤُهُ وَظُلْمُهُ وَبُطْلَانِ مَا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ الْوَاقِعُ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ. But if they reject and they do not submit after the truth has been made clear to them, rather they insist on their lies and allegations and their wrongdoing and oppression and the falsehood which they are upon, then this is the truth, and this is exactly how the Jews are. This is the truth of the Jews. Their condition today is that they deliberately reject Jesus and they deliberately reject the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though in the Hebrew Torah today the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned by name Muhammadan. It's mentioned by name in Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 18, and in other references he's mentioned by name in Hebrew, and they read it. They know that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they will not adhere to the truth. They will remain upon their falsehood. These are the qualities of the people of the hellfire. These people deserve nothing but burning, because they are asking for it and they're paying money for it, and they're favoring the dunya over the akhirah. Even though we have 5 minutes, we have to actually, let me just do this one more ayah, inshallah. Ayah number 95. قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Bustin Arab, please.
Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah has given the truth. Follow the religion of Ibrahim, Hanifa. Islamic politician, he used to worship Allah alone indeed, and he was not of al-mushrikeen.
Barakallahu feek. Now, this is interesting here. You sometimes hear the Muslims, when they finish reciting the Quran, what do they say? Yeah, that's a bid'ah, brother. That's an innovation. And some may use this ayah as an evidence for that. But this is not an evidence for that. Because the Prophet ﷺ used to recite the Quran all the time. Never, not even one narration do we have of him or of the Sahaba that they ever used to conclude their recitation with Sadaqallahu al-Azim. I know you hear it on Ida'at al-Quran al-Kareem. I know you hear it everywhere you go. There's a fatwa from the Lajna al-Daim. I even remember the number of the fatwa because it's easy. Fatwa number 3333. That it is an innovation to say Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Most, Allah the Great has said the truth. You don't need to say that. And you should not say that. You finish reciting the Quran, you close the book and you go. Handle your business. You don't have to conclude your recitation of the Quran with any expression of this nature. If there was an evidence from the Prophet ﷺ, we would all be doing it every single day. I would actually say it with every ayah. We don't have such an evidence, we leave it alone. Yes, you say, brother, but you know, is it possible the imam of this and this or this, and you know, say, listen, the deen is not he did, they did, and we did. The deen is Allah said, His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Sahaba understood, that's the deen. How they understood, that's the religion of Islam. What the people do, that's a long story. You will never finish. You will never finish. Clear? So if you were taught to say Sadaqallahu al-Azim, next time you recite the Quran, don't say it. And don't worry. Allah will not punish you. In fact, Allah will reward you for adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say it, the sunnah is that you don't say it either. Right? Right. The Shaykh said, أي قل صدق الله في كل ما قاله ومن أصدق من الله قيلا وحديثا. Say Allah has said the truth concerning everything. He said. And who is more truthful than Allah in his statement and his speech? Because there's a difference between qila and hadith, as the ulama differentiate. وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ مِنَ الْأَدِلَّةِ عَلَى صِحَّةِ رِسَالَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَرَاهِينِ دَعْوَتِهِ وَبُطْلَانِ مَا عَلَيْهِ الْمُنْحَرِفُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا رَسُولَهُ وَرَدُّوا دَعْوَتَهُ. And Allah has made it clear in these ayat, very clear, the truthfulness of the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the evidences for his da'wah, and the falsehood of those who have deviated from among the people of the book, so they belied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they rejected his da'wah. فَقَدْ سَبَقَ اللَّهُ فِي ذَلِكَ وَأَقْنَى عِبَادَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ بِبَرَاهِينَ وَحُجَّجَ تَتَصَدَّعْ لَهَا الْجِبَالُ وَتَخْضَعُ لَهَا الرِّجَالُ. Allah azza wa jalla said the truth concerning that, and he convinced his slaves concerning the evidences and the proofs, so much so that the mountains shake, and men have to submit to the truth which Allah sent down. So powerful that the mountains cannot handle it. And men who are of understanding, they have no choice but khudu', but submissiveness and submission to the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتَعَيَّنَ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ كُلُّهُمْ اتِّبَاعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ من توحيد الله وحده لا شريك له وتصديق كل رسول أرسله الله. It becomes compulsory on all of us and all of our family members. Pay attention, on all of us and all of our family members to follow the way of Ibrahim, which is only being revived and applied today by the Muslims. The only people who follow the way of Ibrahim today are the Muslims. Why? Because we worship Allah alone, and we worship none in, we associate none in worship with Him, and we believe in every messenger which Allah sent. The only group of people on earth who believe in every messenger of Allah are the Muslims. If you speak about Jesus, we believe. You speak about Moses, we believe. You speak about Abraham, we believe. David, Solomon, Jacob, Isaac, you mention anyone, we believe. You speak to a Christian, you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. You speak to a Jew, do you believe in Jesus and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. See the difference between us. We don't reject anything from Allah, but you're rejecting. Whatever you like, you accept. Whatever you don't like, you reject. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضَ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. So do you believe in some of the revelation and you disbelieve in the other one? You cannot do so. So our attitude is that whatever Allah Azza wa Jal sent down, we will accept. وَكُلُّ كِتَابٍ أَنْزَلَهُ وَالْإِعْرَاضُ عَنِ الْأَدْيَانِ الْبَاطِلَ الْمُنْحَرِفَ. And we believe in every revelation Allah sent down, and we avoid all deviant religions. All deviant religions. فَإِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ مُعْرِضًا عَنْ كُلِّ مَا يُخَالِفُ التَّوْحِيدِ مُتَبَرِّئًا مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, he stayed away. He avoided every false religion and anything which will negate Tawheed, maintaining Allah's oneness and uniqueness. And he was declaring his innocence always and forever from shirk and its people. With that, inshallah ta'ala, we will conclude the dars today. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. Next week around the same time, we'll be dealing with the ayah, 96 and 97, or whatever Allah facilitates concerning the Kaaba. Some of the verses of Kaaba and it being the first place that Allah azza wa jal made as the place of worship for him. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد جزاكم الله خيرا.